You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each week we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained while we chat with you about the Montreal Canadiens. And we've got an exciting show ahead of us today for episode 396. Can the Montreal Canadiens solve the Lightning? We're going to break down playoff series number one this week. It's so exciting. We've got tons to talk about. So when I say we, let's make some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show. Joined, of course, in the studio by my wonderful co-host. He is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. Rick, are you ready for the playoffs?
Well, I had better be ready because not only are the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs, but the Stanley Cup playoffs for 2026 begin shortly. We record on Saturday afternoon, there's some games coming up pretty shortly. Mm-hmm. Carolina and Ottawa. A little later in the afternoon is Minnesota and Dallas, the former North Stars versus the current Stars, and then one a series. I imagine that the series of Pennsylvania, the battle for Pennsylvania, that should be a good series for anybody to watch. I think
it's going
to
be a good rivalry series, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. It's going
to
be good.
And we'll get to the Montreal Tampa Bay series starting on Sunday around dinner time. And that, of course, will be watched by all the most of the people who are listening to this podcast.
I would think so. So what can you expect on today's show? Well, here's what we've got for you. In the first segment, we'll give you our week in review. We're going to briefly recap the final three games of the regular season that the Canadiens played this past week. Rick has his brand new three stars of the week selected that we're going to go over as well. Then we've got a whole slew of roster news, getting you up to date on some injuries, some signings, some additions, things like that. And then, of course, we always take a look at the Canadiens prospect report. We've got some information on some very popular and top Canadiens prospects that we want to discuss with you, as well as get you caught up on anything with the Laval Rocket and the Trois-Rivières Lions. And then to wrap up the first segment, of course, we'll have some general highlights of hockey news from around the NHL. Just kind of some notable things to bring to you there. Then our second segment, of course, is where we tackle our big topic each week. And this week's big topic: what it will take for the Montreal Canadiens to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. That can either be a statement or a question. What will it take? What it will take? All we know is it's going to take some things, and we're going to review. Consider this your series preview. This is, as the series goes on, we're going to take a look at the structure of these two teams, who has some advantages, who has disadvantages, who can take advantage of the opposition's weaknesses. things like that, and kind of just look at both teams and how they're made up, and just try to discover the path for Montreal to come out at the end of this series as the victor. It's not going to be an easy series. We talked about that last week. So that's going to be a lot of fun to talk about in the second segment. Finally, then in our third segment, that's where we let you have your say, because we want to hear from you. We will, of course, present you with a fan question of the week, the Canadians Connection question of the week, and encourage you to submit your responses to that. And then what we do is take the best replies that we get, and we read them on the following week's show. So after we give you this week's Canadians Connection question of the week, we'll bring you some notable responses from last week's question. And who knows, maybe it was yours. So we'll get you just all set up to enjoy some playoff hockey this week. So let's get right into it by wrapping up the regular season. The Canadians played three games this past week since our last episode, starting with Saturday night's tilt against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And frankly, Montreal did not look good. Columbus waltzing away with a 5-2 victory over the Canadians.
Yeah, this one, this was too easy. Columbus won this game with very, very little effort. The Canadians were awful. It was Columbus who outshot Montreal 26-13 after two periods, after 40 minutes. And by then they had built a 4-1 lead, and there wasn't much for the Canadians to do coming back on that. Some pretty bad individual performances. Jaden Struble, giveaways. Mike Matheson was, according to the hockey stat card, the worst defenseman for the Canadians. It was difficult. The positives, Demidov, very good game for Ivan Demidov. Cole Caulfield, his 51st goal of the season. Mm-hmm. But the Habs just, and I guess as has been the case for, at least the last 2 weeks, the Canadians didn't seem ready to play. They weren't prepared. Now I'm certain that the Canadians do opposition scouting, but the opposition scouts aren't preparing, and that would be somebody from the coaching staff not preparing the team to start on time. So I guess some of the most difficult news in this one was not even the loss, but the fact that Noah Dobson left the game in the second period. It was a Zach Werenski shot that hit him on his right hand. And we'll talk more about Noah Dobson and his and the outlook for the playoffs for him when we get to the roster section.
Definitely. Not too much time to think about that loss, though, because the Canadians needed to hop on a plane and get to Long Island overnight because they wrapped up the season with two road games, starting on a Sunday evening with a visit to the New York Islanders. A very different New York Islanders, however, from the last time they had played them a week or two earlier, because now it was Pete DeBoer behind the bench. But Montreal managed to make good work of this game and beat the Islanders in their barn 4-1.
It was a good game for the Canadiens' top line. Of note here, it was, and I should say with respect to the top line, it was Nick Suzuki reaching 100 points for the first time in his career. He had a goal and an assist in the game. Love the message from former Canadian Mats Naslund. Sent a message to Nick Suzuki saying, "Hey, I was the last player to get 100 points, and that was 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's about time you took this from me." Lane Hutson had two assists in the game to get to 66. Assist that would tie Larry Robinson for the Canadiens franchise record for assists by defensemen. And Larry set that a long time ago, 1976-77 season. Speaking of defensemen, again, Mike Matheson, he's been struggling. He was the Canadiens' worst defenseman, according to the hockey stat card. Mm-hmm. David Reinbacher made his NHL debut. It seems he's been around forever. And for some, it was quite, debut.
That was me. I was like, my goodness, this kid's been, it feels like he's been around forever. I completely forgot that he hadn't played an actual regular season NHL game yet.
I thought that he looked, his head was spinning in the first couple of shifts. He looked a bit overwhelmed. After that, I thought, he got better and better and better and for his debut had a solid first game. And on hand, was his dad, Harold, who had flown in that day from, Zurich, into New York City, missed the rookie lap, but was there to see him get his first NHL point, and that had to be exciting for the entire Reinbacher family.
Definitely. So to wrap up the regular season, the Canadians made a trip to Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. And, you know, this was prior to the game. You're thinking, okay, this shouldn't be too much because the list of regulars that Philly sat in this game was a mile long because they had clinched the night prior. Keep in mind, so Philly was on the second half of a back-to-back. They played Monday night, and then this was a Tuesday night game against the Canadiens. Second half of a back-to-back. They had clinched the night before, and so they rested a whole slew of their regulars. Montreal, not so much. Montreal lost this game. They looked awful. I mean, a very young team over there on the Philadelphia Flyers bench absolutely steamrolled them with a 4-2 victory.
A lot of Lehigh Valley Phantoms in this game. Yeah. The Canadians rested some vets. Deneau, Anderson, Matheson were all healthy scratches for Montreal. But the Philadelphia Flyers, it was 10 regulars.
Everyone in their, most of the team.
Yeah, well, and all of their top players were out of the lineup. So this should have been a cakewalk for the Canadiens and for Montreal. It was an important game. I mean, there were some important milestones that could have been reached, Lane Hutson being one of them. And the fact that the Canadiens were still battling. We knew that they were going to play Tampa Bay, but they were battling for home ice advantage at this point, and they came up flat. They looked, protecting from injuries was the excuse. I understand that. Montreal was never in this game, and maybe the 4-2 score flattered the Canadiens.
Yes.
Yaroslav Slavkovsky is -3. It was a big game for Michkov. He had a goal and two assists. And for those who still put Michkov and Reinbacher as, in the same category, given the way the draft went, this was Reinbacher versus Michkov for the very first time. Cole Caulfield, he was going for that Rocket Richard. I said milestones were still outstanding, that mm-hmm. Rocket Richard trophy. He had 10 shots on goal in this game. That was his, that matched his single game NHL mark. Goals from Evans and Gallagher. Jake Evans were the A in this game as the alternate. As one of the alternates, Gallagher, the other, of course, and Gallagher had a goal, and Gallagher looked really good in this game. I thought he played really well.
He did.
Arber Jackey, he played almost 20 minutes in this game, which was he was very happy about. But it was a tough game for the Canadiens. And as it turned out, they lost the two of their final three contests.
Whoa. Well, let's hope that they, after a week of one, they had one day off and some practice. We'll see how they come out for game one on Sunday night in Tampa Bay, because they did finish third in the division. So Tampa gets home ice advantage for this series. So having said all of that, you have selected your new three stars for the week. Top billing, first star for the week for you. You're handing it over to the captain.
Nick Suzuki gets the nod in three games that were played in the week. 3 points, a goal and two assists. And he got that 100th point, which was important for him and important for one of those important milestones that we had talked about.
Definitely. Your second star of the week is young defenseman Lane Hutson.
3 assists for Hutson. He averaged more than 25 minutes a game, which was tops on the team.
And third star of the week, Jake Evans.
Jake Evans, 2 points in 3 games, but you know he's there for his defense and his faceoffs. He was the best faceoff man for the Canadiens with a whopping 71% faceoff winning percentage.
Wonderful.
I'm going to throw in a struggling one. Okay. So let me do the honorable.
I was excited. You have an honorable mention this week as well.
Don't jump to the strugglers. Caden Gooley, I thought, played well. I don't think he's 100%, but he was averaging almost 22 minutes a game and picked up an assist in the 2 games that he played.
Now, you are going to list someone who's struggling this week.
Joris Slavkovský. He's not playing very well at all.
No.
He looks a little lazy out there, especially in the Canadiens' own zone. A -4 this week. And, you know, this is kind of reminiscent of the way he played earlier in the season before he was put on that second line. And then I think he's deferring too much to Caulfield and Suzuki. And maybe that's in terms of trying to get them both to their milestones. But he has not looked good at all.
No. So to round out the regular season, all 82 games are in the books. The Canadiens finish with a record of 48, 24, and 10. That is good enough for 106 points. They finished third in the Atlantic Division and sixth overall in the NHL.
Great season. Successful season.
Much
regular season.
Definitely much better than anyone anticipated 82 games ago before game one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of the roster, there is an addition to talk about this week.
All right.
It's an addition by the captain because he and his wife, Caitlin, welcomed their baby daughter, Maya, this past week.
Congratulations. And nice timing.
Get this
over with before the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it isn't on Nick's mind. Yeah.
He still seems too young to me to be a dad. Like, he still looks like a baby to me, but congratulations. Now we also know Noah Dobson sustained that upper body injury at the beginning of the, well, I guess it was last Saturday, a week ago. And we don't know what's going to happen with Noah Dobson.
All the Canadiens announced is that his status will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So at minimum, we know that the Canadiens will be without Noah Dobson for 2 weeks. Now, at this time of year, there's always, you know, with respect to injuries, there's always gamesmanship going on and not a whole lot of truth-telling. So what's the truth on Noah Dobson? We don't know. We do know that the Canadiens are going to miss him desperately, and it's terrible timing for this. There is a report out that, and it's been reported from a number of different sources, that when he blocked that shot, the shot by Werenski, it was a hand injury, in specifically a thumb injury. And that he needed thumb surgery and that he will be out 4 to 6 weeks. Now, understand if that's the case, why the Canadiens wouldn't necessarily want that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But those are unconfirmed reports. And we just don't know, other than, you know, I think it's pretty clear that he's going to miss most of the first round.
I think so. We have another addition. This time it was on Wednesday that the Canadiens announced that young forward Vincent Rohrer had been assigned to the Laval Rocket after his season in the Swiss National League finished.
Vincent Rohrer was a third-round pick in 2022. He's now 21 years of age, a little undersized at 5'10". But he doesn't play like that. He's he can play center, plays mostly on the wing. He just the way he stands over his skates. He gets very low. He's strong. He'll go to dirty areas on the ice. He's got a good stick. I think he's going to be a good addition for the Laval Rocket. And the nice thing is that Vincent Zrore is very good at drawing penalties. The Laval Rocket are very good at taking penalties. Mm. So he might help balance some of that out.
A little bit. For Sunday's game against the Lightning, it is Jakub Dobiš who is expected to get the start in net.
Yeah, that shouldn't surprise anyone. He's been, and we'll talk more about Jakub later, but certainly the last 10, 20 games or so, he's been one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League.
Definitely. So, as it stands right now, the line combinations and defensive pairings, well, some of the defensive pairings got a little scrambled around at their practice on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the forward lines, the big line, Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky together, Newhook with Demidov and Textier on the second line. Kapanen, I feel badly for Kapanen because he's anchored with two players who aren't giving a whole lot. That's Doc and Bolduc, and then the veteran line of Deneau and shutdown line of Deneau, Evans, and Anderson seems to suggest that we're not going to see Gallagher and we're not going to see Veleno in game one, but I expect that might change. On defense, they practiced this week with Gouley on the left side, Matheson on the right side, and the top pairing, Hudson on the left, Carrier on the right, and then Struble and Jacki together. But that was changed on Saturday morning. And the pairing I worried most about was Hudson-Carrier because we know that Tampa Bay is going to target Hudson, and Carrier is not going to do anything about that. That's clear. So Gouley was paired with Hudson. Now, the only thing is that Gouley was playing on the left. That puts Hudson on the right side where he's much less effective, and Carrier was bumped up to play on the right side with Matheson. So we'll see what's going to happen there. You know, the Canadians don't have currently enough right shot defensemen with Dobson out, and Carrier's not had a great season, and he may not be 100% either. And there's a reluctance to use Reinbacher. We'll see if that changes once the series comes back to Montreal.
All right. Well, we'll see what Marty actually goes with.
Yeah, some of this could be Marty's talked about, you know, not revealing things. This could be subterfuge as well. It wouldn't be a surprise to see them come out with something completely different on Sunday.
One last bit of roster news, because it does involve some players, because you might there's going to be some players making some appearances over the playoffs in places you might not expect.
Yeah.
The Montreal Metro saga continues.
It continues. Remember last year, Go Habs Go, and it went to LA Canadiens, LA. The language police got involved, and then it got approved late. The government stepped in, and then the Montreal Transit said, it's too late. We have to fix them all by hand, and blah, blah, blah. So they've had all year to figure this out. Apparently haven't really done a good job figuring it out. Can Go Habs Go appear on those display boards on buses? It can. Go apparently got, the word Go got approved by the language police. And so it can be used, but apparently it has to be triggered manually, and it has to be triggered on the whims of the bus driver. And to make everything all fair and everything, they also had to put something in about the Montreal women's team.
The Victoire.
And, so it's It's just as complicated. So instead, what we can say is going to happen that on some of the, I think it's Bonaventure and one of the other metro stations, that you're going to hear when the metro is approaching the station, and the announcement comes on for which station it is, you're going to hear the voice of Canadiens players. So it might sound something like this.
Ici à Coupe de Bêche, prochaine station, Bonaventure.
You got that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Jakub Dobiš.
This is Jakub Dobiš, next station, yeah, Bonaventure.
Ici, Juraj Slavkovský, prochaine station, Bonaventure.
Yeah.
So enthusiastic, Juraj.
Who else we got? Lane Hudson, I think.
Ici, Lane Hudson, prochaine station, Lucien Lellier.
So
apparently, Lane Hudson has a lot of questions about his statement.
As a voice actor, you'll be able. Could give some coaching here to these guys.
Yeah. Yes. Oh boy.
That's a little fun for fans during the playoffs.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the younger players, the Habs prospect, and check out their report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
I can guarantee that no one had on their Montreal Canadiens bingo card that Michael Hage was going to return to the University of Michigan for his junior year.
This was a surprise. A surprise for everybody. We were talking about, where is Michael Hage going to end up? Is he going to be with the Canadiens for the playoffs? Is he going to be with Laval?
He's going to go home.
He said, no, thanks. I'm not coming. We'll talk more about this at another time. This is a playoff preview. We're not going to spend a lot of time. It's clear that Michael Hage is not going to be part of the picture for the Canadiens playoffs, nor the Laval Rocket playoffs for this year. He's going to go back to the University of Michigan, play for the Wolverines next year. That'll be his third season, as you said. Everybody from his agent, Pat Brisson, and Kent Hughes, tried to put a really positive face on this, he's going to get to play with his brother, on the Wolverines lineup. He'll take on a larger role, with the team, and all of that is true. What more does Michael Hage have to learn in the NCAA? Well, I guess he wasn't the go-to guy necessarily on the Wolverines this year. It played a big part, particularly on the power play. We saw he was dominant at the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. He had a good season. Can he learn more? I suppose so. And particularly taking on more leadership roles, mm-hmm. And being the guy that the team counts on and have an opportunity. We know that it was an upset that they didn't make it in the Frozen Four. They didn't make it to the final, to the championship game. So there's lots of things. For Kent Hughes, he said we were fine with anything that he chose. Was that their preference? I don't think so.
Probably not.
So I don't know. I think Michael Hage saw the writing on the wall that, I'm not going to participate in the Canadiens playoff run. I'll probably, be playing with, the Laval Rocket, and that, he looked at next season as a choice between playing in the AHL and playing in the NCAA. And playing in the AHL is a grind. It is a grind. And for some of the top level prospects, it's not always the best path. And Michael Hage and his advisors and his agent and his family all chose, all agreed that he would go to the NCAA, within a direct path, a direct jump to the Montreal Canadiens the following season.
Yeah. So no Michael Hage coming, and no Alexander Zhirovsky coming either.
Yeah. Well, and this is not a
surprise.
This was expected, but I think why we mention it here is that for two reasons. Kent Hughes will have to keep in mind that Zhirovsky and Hage won't be with the Canadiens next season, but they will starting in the 2027 and 28 season. So he's going to have to keep some spaces open, and he's not going to want to tie up roster spots with any acquisitions that he goes out and makes. But the other question, and don't get Pierre McGuire started on this, why didn't Kent Hughes, if things were all pointing in that direction, why didn't Kent Hughes go out and make some acquisitions at the trade deadline that would have helped the Canadiens for this playoff run and that would have helped them next season? That's a question that I think is going to be asked once the playoff run is over, even more strongly than they have already been asked.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Frozen Four, so we know that, yes, Michigan was eliminated. So it was, we discussed this last week, that the final was between the Denver Pioneers versus the Wisconsin Badgers. And once again, it was the Denver Pioneers coming out on top to win the Frozen Four, this championship in Las Vegas this year. They beat Wisconsin 2-1. And boy, Denver has just been a powerhouse for a number of years.
They've won the championship 11 times. They have 11 national titles. That's record setting. Again, I mentioned it last week. David Carl, the coach of Denver, there is a direct path. There should be a direct path mm-hmm. for him to the NHL wherever he wants it. Denver, good. It was good news, and for two Canadiens prospects, that being Sam Harris and Quentin Miller, they are national champions. Sam Harris, the winger, and Quentin Miller, the goaltending prospect for Montreal.
Quentin Miller, after that championship win with Denver, is one of two Canadiens goaltending prospects to enter the NCAA transfer portal. So he won't be back with Denver next year.
Quentin Miller lost his job. He had an injury, and his backup took over, and then had an unbelievable unbeaten streak. By the way, I think it was 15-0-1.
Yeah.
So Quentin Miller didn't get back into the net for Denver. Not a surprise that he's chosen to go elsewhere. Western Michigan is a good program, and he'll play for the Broncos next year.
In addition, Alexis Cournoyer just wrapped up his first season at Cornell, but he also has entered the NCAA transfer portal.
Yeah, Cournoyer will go to, and we just mentioned it, the University of Wisconsin Badgers.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to him, and as he continues his development in the NCAA. Remember, he was the one that won the Dryden Award earlier in the season.
As Rick mentioned last week, it's ranking season.
Yep.
And the Athletic now, Scott Wheeler has his top 20 drafted NHL goalie prospects ranking out.
Scott Wheeler is one of the prospect writers for the Athletic. You want to take Scott's rankings with a little grain of salt. Scott will always rank Montreal Canadiens prospects or potential prospects higher than they should be, looking for that great fan base of the Montreal Canadiens to help some help some numbers, he's pretty good, but he will give a boost to Canadiens prospects always, and in this case you'll find Jacob Fowler. Not only at the top of his goaltending prospects ranking, but alone in what he calls the Tier 1 section. And that's not to disparage Fowler et al., who's had a great season both in Laval and with Montreal. And he is on this list alone in Tier 1. Tier 2, there's a bunch of very, very good goaltending prospects, including Sebastian Cosa, very good prospect for Detroit. There, Joshua Ravensburg, Bergen, Trey Augustine, Michael Rabel, and the list goes on and on. So there are the top 20 here, and overall, it's Fowler that tops them all, and I think that's good news for Montreal.
Let's see here. The CHL playoffs continue. The OHL is in the second round. That would be Owen Protz for the Canadiens in terms of their prospects. Defenseman Owen Protz, who plays for the Brantford Bulldogs. He's moving on.
Brantford's a powerhouse. They swept North Bay. They'll go on to round three of that series starting soon. Protz, for in his eight games, he's not valued for his points, but for his defensive play and physicality, of course. Mm-hmm. He has two assists and plus five in eight games played.
Over in the WHL, Hayden Papanagas plays for Kelowna. They're right on the edge.
Yeah, Everett's down in this series. Everett leads this series. So Kelowna is down 3-1. Papanagas, for individually, is having a good playoffs. He has 5 points in eight games and a plus two.
And of course, defenseman Bryce Pickford, playing for the Medicine Hat Tigers in the WHL. They're also going on to the next round.
Yeah, Medicine Hat swept Calgary, and so they're on to round three. They'll meet Prince Albert in that one. Pickford, gaudy numbers, 9 points in nine games and a plus 11.
This kid this season, my goodness. He's a defenseman. Ugh. All right. Switching to the Laval Rocket and the Canadiens prospects playing in the AHL. The Rocket are getting set for their playoff run. They signed a new defenseman this week, Aiden Dubinsky, to a PTO.
Yeah, Aiden Dubinsky is a defenseman, 21 years old, average size, right shot defenseman, note that. He played with University of Wisconsin, who we just talked about. They went to the championship game, a defensive defenseman, but has playmaking ability. And if you recognize that name, Dubinsky, his dad, Steve Dubinsky, played for Chicago, mostly played for Chicago, the Chicago Blackhawks, a bit with the Blues and the Predators, a veteran of 375 NHL games. So he's got that pedigree, and Aiden Dubinsky will be joining the Laval Rocket. And we'll see what happens as the series goes on. Will one of Adam Engstrom, David Reinbacher, be returned to Laval once Laval's playoffs start? We'll see. This Aiden Dubinsky could help shore up some of those gaps in the defensive core.
We mentioned earlier in this segment that prospect Vincent Rohrer was assigned to the Laval Rocket. He did a skate with the team in practice on Friday.
We'll see if he makes it into one of those final games of the season.
Mm-hmm. This week, the AHL, of course, announced their first and second All-Star teams for this season. The All-Star teams for the AHL are voted on by the league's coaches, players, and members of the media representing each of the 32 cities that an AHL club calls home. But Rick, there was maybe something a little surprising in this year's first and second All-Star teams.
No Laval Rocket at all. The first and second teams. You might have thought Jacob Fowler. You might have thought Adam Engstrom, who had an extremely good season. Nope, none of them. The Rocket won't have a representative on either All-Star team. Mm.
They did, however, finally clinch the top spot in the North Division. So for the second season in a row, they are North Division winners. They played last weekend, beating Belleville 5-2 last Saturday. Two of those goals for Laval were empty netters, but that was a much-needed victory for them. They do still have two regular season games left. They play this afternoon, Saturday afternoon, against Toronto, the Marlies, in Toronto. I believe that's today and tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, both 4 o'clock starts for them to wrap up the regular season, but doing pretty good so far.
And so they'll probably have a week off or so before their playoffs.
Right, because they'll get a bye since they have clinched
the play-in round and whatnot.
Yeah, since they have clinched the top of the division, they will get a bye in the first round. They won't need to participate in that best of three play-in round, so they'll have some time off before their first series starts. For Trois-Rivières, it is almost the end of the road for their season. They have one game left. They are not going to make the playoffs this year. And so the reigning Kelly Cup champions have just one more game left before their summer begins. And hopefully next year they can get back on the right foot. All right. Before we take our first break here, let's just bring you some quick NHL notes from other teams around the league. First and foremost, the New Jersey Devils this week hired Sonny Mehta as their new GM.
Mehta, nice.
Yeah. He's been with the Panthers for quite a while. This is a great hire, I think, by the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, with the Panthers for six seasons. He was an assistant GM. He was head of analytics. He's a data-driven guy, mm-hmm. Which made him a big candidate for the Toronto Maple Leafs GM position. With him out of the running, now it's just a neck and neck between Grok and ChatGPT for the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. Well, we heard what Keith Pelley wants and who he relies on. Yeah. This was Sonny Mehta's got, a pretty good resume with the Panthers having won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships. And so the Devils are pretty excited to get him.
Definitely. Gonna need a new GM in Vancouver as well, because on Friday the Canucks axed Patrick Alvin.
Yeah. That was an ugly season, season in Vancouver. Not a surprise. Jim Rutherford, in fact, had taken over some of the responsibilities and basically looked after the Quinn Hughes trade. I think the writing was on the wall there. Canucks finished last in the NHL this season. They haven't been in the playoffs. Well, they failed to qualify for the fifth time in the last 6 years. So, that's
time for some changes.
There's going to be changes.
Yep. And the 2025-26 NHLPA player poll is out.
Yeah. And this is always kind of fun to go through and see what the players are thinking. I guess one thing that always stays the same is, what is the best ice in the National Hockey League, and what are the players going to say?
The Bell Center.
The Bell Center. And in fact, the top three are all Canadian arenas, with the Edmonton Oilers and Winnipeg Jets facilities also getting top marks. They asked some different questions this year. Which forward could also be a defenseman, excel as a defenseman? They got Alexander Barkov in that. Mm. Which defenseman could excel as a forward? Cale Makar, overwhelmingly by 36% of the players, got that vote. Lane Hutson, 3%. He got a mention. Best puck handling goaltender, that's Jordan Binnington. Best nickname, Pasta. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be not hard to figure out. The most fashionable player, in the eyes of the players, this is an NHLPA poll, William Nylander.
They like the fedora.
Yeah. The best golfer in the NHL. Clayton Keller, apparently.
Really?
Excels at that. The best social media guy who handles their social media presence the best. That's, again, got a multiple winner here, William Nylander. Which player would make a great coach? Sidney Crosby. And the most intense training regime by a player, that goes to Nathan MacKinnon. The Canadians get another mention in addition to ice, and that is, what is the best team rivalry in the NHL?
Oh.
And the Montreal Canadiens took the first two spots in this. 43% Canadiens Leafs, 17% Bruins Canadiens for the top two spots.
Okay.
The third spot goes to Flyers Penguins, and we'll see that as we talked about in the Battle of Pennsylvania.
Fabulous rivalry.
So that's the NHL players survey for this season.
Always fun to go over that. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And when we come back, we are digging into this week's big topic. What will it take for the Montreal Canadiens to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? Let's explore it, because it's not something that couldn't happen. It's not impossible. So let's get into that right after this. Stick with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit HabsHockeyReport.com and click the Join Our Team tab today. In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, joined, of course, in the studio by my co-host, Rick Stevens. If you'd like to follow us both over on X, you're welcome to do that. My handle there is at Flyers Rule. Rick's handle is at Rocket Sports. That is the main account where you'll get links and updates and whatnot for all of our content on all different platforms, no matter what format, as well as updates on Laval, updates about the Canadians, things like that. So be sure you're following there. You can also follow this podcast specifically on social media, whether it's on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. The handle for the podcast is at Habs Connection. And if you haven't done so, why don't you subscribe to the podcast? You're going to get all excited watching the playoffs. You're not going to remember to do that. So just look down. Whatever player you're currently listening to the podcast on, there should be a subscribe button right on it. Just tap the subscribe button and there you go. You'll never miss an episode. Same thing if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button and done. You'll and hit the notification bell as well, and you'll always be reminded. So as the Canadians get set to open their first round series against Tampa Bay, I think it's pretty clear what the overall narrative is going to be, even though Marty St. Louis does not want to acknowledge this. But the obviously they're the underdog in this matchup. Marty doesn't think so. Marty says no, but that's the going thought. And it's understandable why. I mean, you're looking at a Lightning team that's got lots of experience, both in their individual players and in their coach, but also just as a group in general. They've gone through some pretty deep playoff runs. They know what it takes this time of year. For Montreal, it's a very different kind of test. They're young. They are less experienced with this kind of playoff pressure. The pace and the physical play is going to ramp up. The margin for error gets a whole lot smaller. But it's not, you know, it's not a situation where you just kind of look at the matchup, throw your hands in the air and say, well, there's really, the Canadians don't have a hope. That's not the case. There are areas where the Canadians can compete, and there are things that they can do well enough to really make the series competitive if they're able to execute consistently. And we know that's been an issue for them for like the past 2 or 3 weeks, is their consistency and their effort level, particularly with starting games. So the question becomes really less about whether they can win the series, but more like how they need to go about playing in order to win the series. And Rick, when you look at this matchup, what are you thinking is the clearest path for the Canadians to actually walk away with a victory on this series?
Well, let's approach this honestly. Let's approach it objectively. Tampa has home ice advantage in this series because mm-hmm. of the way the last few games played out. Tampa has a Hart Trophy candidate in Nikita Kucherov. Tampa has the favorite for the Vezina Trophy in Vasilevsky. And objectively, the Lightning have the best coach in the NHL in John Cooper. Now, that makes the Canadiens underdogs, and it's no use spending time arguing about that. The Canadiens are underdogs. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think the Canadiens, the Montreal Canadiens players, I think they even acknowledge that, but are embracing their status as underdogs. And most importantly, and quite differently from last season, they don't seem to be intimidated by being underdogs. You know, the question that you raised is important. So having acknowledged that they are the underdogs, how do they go about winning the series? And I think to do that, you know, we have to look at the individual components. You have to look at the experience. You have to look at the season series, you know, and compare individuals. You know, Nikita Kucherov versus Nick Suzuki, Jakub Dobish versus Andrei Vasilevsky, John Cooper versus Marty St. Louis. You know, this is a rematch of the 2021 Stanley Cup final with a very different Montreal Canadiens team. Mm-hmm. The only Canadiens who are left who experienced that 2021 series with Tampa, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, they were very young then, mm-hmm. And veterans, Brendan Gallagher, who may not be in game one of the series, Jake Evans, Phil Deneau, Josh Anderson. If we looked at on the Tampa side, their list is much longer of the players who are leftovers from that 2021 series. According to the regular season, the 2025-26 series, the season series was evenly split, and the Canadians looked very good in the two games that they won. So what have we got? If we look at the forwards, I think, yeah, I mentioned Kucherov, I mentioned Suzuki. You know, top six, I think the Canadians match up pretty well mm-hmm. against Tampa. It's the bottom six where you look at that Tampa lineup and there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of tough players. There's a lot of players who can contribute offensively. And I think, you know, when you look at the forwards, because of that depth that Tampa has, I would give the nod to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, what does it mean? Well, I think that for Montreal, Suzuki and Caulfield are going to have to carry the offense. They're going to have to, you know, the Canadians are sometimes called a one-line team. That first line is going to have to carry that offense, particularly the milestone guys, Suzuki and Caulfield. Somehow they're going to have to unlock that offensive threat, that being Ivan Demidov. That the second line has lost its ability to threaten other teams and take some of the pressure off of the first line since Marty has started experimenting and tinkering with that second line. And and it doesn't look like that he's willing to start the playoffs reuniting that second line. He's got Slavkovsky on the top line. He's got Kapanen down on the third line. But it was Kapanen and Demidov who looked very good together, and Slavkovsky looked like the player who can drive a line and wasn't deferential, as we talked about earlier.
Well, that, I'm just going to interject there to say, you know, you're talking about how Suzuki and Caulfield are going to have to carry the offense, but that also means that, you know, Slavkovsky was your struggling player this week because of that. You mentioned how he seems to be... he hasn't been playing like himself. He seems to be deferring to Suzuki and Caulfield. And if that line is going to be successful and if Suzuki and Caulfield are going to drive the offense, they've got to get Slavkovsky out of whatever this little kind of mindset that he's got going on right now in order to make that top line fully effective.
And does it mean that you'd put Texier, who looked okay, Texier doesn't create offense, but he's around the play to be able to cash in on some opportunities. Do you gain more putting Slavkovsky on the second line and spreading out your offense?
Yes.
And Texier up with can Suzuki and Caulfield still carry the offense with Texier there? That's an open question, and we'll see if Marty's willing to go back to that formula to give a boost to that second line. And particularly, he's got to unlock Demidov for 5-on-5 offense and then on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom, it's going to be, I think, Evans and Anderson. And maybe at some point, they're slated to be healthy scratches now, but Veleno and Gallagher putting in tough minutes and being the players who are the shutdown a group that go out there. I think, you know, in the last, well, for the better part of this season, but certainly the last few weeks, we've seen nothing out of Kirby Dach. It would be wonderful to hope that Kirby Dach can be the Kirby Dach who is on paper during these playoffs, that he'd be physical and that he'd be an offensive threat and that he'd be a forechecking beast and all of those things. I don't know that that's possible. But Doc and Bolduc have offered absolutely nothing these last few weeks. And even to some degree, Texier, although less so. But I would say especially Doc and Bolduc have to be on a short leash. Because Gallagher is hungry and he looked very good when he came into the lineup. Veleno can help out your penalty kill and be a physical presence. I think that Marty St. Louis has got to put his love affairs aside. We've talked about this with respect to other players like Montembeau and Matheson, but he's got to put those aside and have a short leash for players like Doc and Bolduc.
Okay, so that's the forwards. As you mentioned, Tampa's deep on forwards, and so it's going to come down to really making sure that the offense can be unlocked. The defense, that's a different story. Noah Dobson being out for an unspecified amount of time, that's a big loss.
It's huge. Mike Matheson gets a lot of credit. Noah Dobson, not so much, but it's Noah Dobson had his own struggles one-on-one battles in his own zone, but blocked a ton of shots. And the Canadians' penalty kill wasn't very good, but it was Dobson who was blocking a lot of shots and making up for the fact that there were some giveaways going on from other defensemen. This is, and not to mention his contribution to the offensive side, mm-hmm. And the second power play and so on. This is going to be hard for the Canadians to make up. They are going to miss Noah Dobson in a big way, and it's a big challenge. This series will be a big challenge for Montreal without him. In addition, Lane Hutson is going to be a target, as I've mentioned before, and paired with Carrier. Carrier is not going to do anything. That adjustment that we saw on Saturday with Gouley next to Hutson, it's a mixed bag because it pushes Hutson to the right side, but especially with the series opening on the road, that might offer, Gouley might offer a bit of protection there. The defense is, listen, Matheson is going to have to demonstrate that the defensive ability that all the media claim that give him credit for. He's going to have to be that best the TVI journalist who said he was the best defensive defenseman in the NHL. He's going to have to be that in this series. And I worry about Struble and Jack Eye together on the ice. They're going to have to offer a physical presence without getting into penalty trouble, because the Canadians have issues there too. So it's the defense is going to have to be the defense is a big challenge. That what can help is that if they free up Lane Hutson, he can take over a game, as we've seen.
And on the other side, for Tampa, they have a challenge on defense, at least to start as well. John Cooper confirming earlier this morning that Victor Hedman's still not ready. He is around the team, might be available soon. It was very, very vague, but not available right now. I believe I even saw a report that they're speculating maybe he might be available when the series shifts to Montreal later next week. But that's something to keep an eye on. And that's something, if the Canadians can take advantage while Hedman is not in the lineup, it would behoove them to do so.
The loss of Dobson for the Canadians has a greater impact than the loss of Hedman for Tampa.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Goaltending, Jakub Dobish versus Andrei Vasilevsky.
Now this one, I think some folks who haven't seen the two teams, some of the analysts out there might say hands down Vasilevsky. And yes, Vasilevsky has had a Vezina caliber season and is probably the favorite for the Vezina Trophy. He has all of those playoff series and pedigree. He has all of those wins against the Montreal Canadiens. He is going to be a Hall of Fame. He's going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. However, it's Jakub Dobish. If you look at goals saved above expected for the past 20 games, the number one goaltender in the National Hockey League, Jakub Dobish. I think it's not a slam dunk. Yes, there's going to be a lot of nerves. Yes, Jakub Dobish can be emotional, but I don't think it's Tampa certainly has the edge, but I don't think it's as big a gap as some might have you believe.
Well, what about special teams? Let's first look at the comparison of power play. And thankfully, the Canadiens' power play this year has been much improved. And they do have an edge, at least on paper. They have an edge on the power play over the Lightning.
Yeah, the Canadiens' power play has been up in the top seven all year. This last stretch,
they slipped.
The last month or so, they've really slipped. Their power play has gotten a little too predictable, and that's I think that's a bit of Marty figuring out a system that works and then leaving it alone rather than having it evolve. And so the power play has slipped to 10th best. And the power play, if you look back over this last season versus the Lightning, I think they have two power play goals against the Lightning all year. That's going to have to be a whole lot better than that. You might expect the Lightning to have a better power play than they have. It's been mediocre, middle of the pack kind of in the NHL this season at 17th.
Now, part of the reason why, you know, it's been a little harder for the Canadiens on the power play is because the penalty kill for the Lightning is pretty darn good. And that is an area that has mightily struggled for the Montreal Canadiens this year and could be one of the things that comes back to bite them.
Penalty kill all season for the Canadiens has been in the bottom third of the league. They haven't improved, kind of gone the opposite way of the power play. They've improved over the last month. So they're up to 18th in the league overall. The Lightning have one of the best penalty kills in the league, bar none, third in the NHL. The Canadiens, well, the coaching staff has to find a way of decoding that, finding their weaknesses, and so that the Canadiens can. This is going to be a tough series. This is going to be a physical series. This is going to be a nasty series. Mm-hmm. And if it's another one of those games like the last regular season game that the Canadiens had with the Lightning and a ton of penalty minutes, the Canadiens have to be able to exploit. We remember the Canadiens went 0-7 on the power play in that game. That can't happen in the power play in the playoffs and let the Canadiens be successful. They need to get some power play goals so that the Lightning don't take advantage of some of the Canadiens' quicker, more skilled players.
And yeah, I mean, if it's anything, I mean, it's the playoffs. Anything goes, right? As you said, it's been a physical, nasty couple of last games between these two. We know that's going to carry over into the series. It's like that in the playoffs in general. I mean, Brady Tkachuk and Staal dropped the gloves right off the opening draw in their series this afternoon to kick off the Ottawa Carolina series. So, they better buckle up. There's going to be penalties, and the Canadiens' penalty kill has to be better, has to continue to be better. One of the areas, when you look at these two teams, however, that things could really boil down to is a less tangible one, but it will be noticeable, and that is the coaching. Marty St. Louis versus John Cooper. And I know I will get hate for this, and that's fine. Advantage Tampa in this category.
Well, you shouldn't get any hate for that. John Cooper is and has been the best head coach in the National Hockey League for some time. Coach Team Canada. He is. And Marty St. Louis would like to be the best coach in the National Hockey League. He's the fourth longest tenured coach. It's been trial and error and learning as he goes, but he has improved. What was interesting, I thought, this week is that, Marty St. Louis has a long connection with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. And he was asked about his emotional connection, and he said zero. I have no emotions for the Tampa Bay Lightning, zero. Mic drop. That's it. It's over.
Okay.
I'll take him at his word. But I know, and we've seen, Marty St. Louis is an emotional coach, and his passion and his speeches and all of that make him who he is. But they also that emotional level has been his downfall. Certainly was his downfall with respect to, he said it, not me, his love for Sam Montembeau, mm-hmm. His attachment to Mike Matheson. Mm-hmm. It's been his downfall. So if he can get emotion out of it, if he can make his players accountable, if he can make them earn ice time, if he can implement a short leash, if he can make use of those extra players, whether it be Gallagher or Valeno or Reinbacher, whoever it is, to come in and when someone's not performing, then all right, let's he has to be nimble enough to recognize where an adjustment is needed and make it quickly.
We'll see if he can do that. We know John Cooper can. We know that John Cooper can, and that is going to be a very well-coached team and a coach who has a lot of experience in these kinds of situations. So let's keep our fingers crossed that Marty has got some things cooking.
So to summarize.
Yes.
What's the blueprint for success? Well, I think Canadians fans can take solace in the fact that the Lightning have been eliminated in the first round of the playoffs each of the past three seasons. Now, that's going to make
the Lightning, hungry for it.
Yeah, they're hungry. They're going to be nasty. They're going to, that's going to fuel the Lightning. But other teams, particularly the last two seasons, it's been the Florida Panthers, have found a way to eliminate the Tampa Bay Lightning. So if, as people have been saying, the Montreal Canadiens have the best first line in hockey, and we heard it from Marty St. Louis, the Montreal Canadiens have the best top six defensemen, he wouldn't exchange any of them for any other defenseman. We heard that at the beginning of the season. We've heard it from journalists that the Canadiens, if they really do have the best offensive defenseman in the league in Mike Matheson, if their special teams can perform, if they can stay disciplined, if Jakub Dobyš can match Vasilevsky, and if Marty St. Louis can be nimble, if he can be unemotional, if he can make adjustments, if he can hold his players accountable, then we can see an upset. And listen, it would be an upset. The Canadians aren't, the odds makers aren't giving the Montreal Canadiens much of a chance to win this series. But if the Canadians are the underdog and the up and comer, and the type of team who wants to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they can start, knocking off the old dog, and split the series in Tampa and start frustrating that Tampa team, and propelled by the emotion of the Bell Center, then they have a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
All right. Well, we have a question for all of you. We want you to answer what you think the biggest advantage the Canadians have is in this matchup. What is the biggest advantage the Canadians have in this matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning? Send in your replies on our text line. You can text it right to us at 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. You can leave it as a comment on Spotify. You can leave it as a comment on YouTube. Or you can hit us up directly on social media in our replies or the DMs at Habs Connection on Twitter, on Facebook, or on Instagram, answering the question, what do you think is the biggest advantage the Canadians have in this matchup? Send them in. Send in all of your thoughts about it. Send us your predictions for how you think the series will shape up. And we're going to read all the best ones on next week's show. And with that, we are going to take our second break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. When we come back, we've got some responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And we're going to bring those to you right after this. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadians Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fan ink. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The Rocket Sports Media team wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, log in to thn.com/Montreal, your year-round source for anything Habs-related. That's thn.com/Montreal.
And welcome back to episode 396 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you're on a platform that allows you to leave a review, whether it's a like on YouTube, a five-star review, a comment review, we'd appreciate it if you could take a minute to do that if you're enjoying the show. And also, if you're enjoying the show, won't you take a second and just share this episode? Just tap the share button and share this episode on your favorite social media platforms. That's a really great and quick and free way for you to help us out here on the show. So we would greatly appreciate that. Don't forget to get your answers into this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. What is the biggest advantage the Canadians have in this series against the Tampa Bay Lightning? Send in your responses on our text line, 5853-ROCKET. Send us a comment on all the social media channels we've mentioned before. Now, last week on episode 395, we asked you, what would you consider to be a successful playoff run for Montreal this season? And we had an answer on YouTube. It was a two-part question. What would you consider a successful playoff run, and how far can the Habs go in the playoffs? And that is the portion of the question that @GalkinFTW answered for us. He says, if it's Tampa, which it is, one series, they will never repeat that kind of effort. If it's Tampa, they're going to go as far as one series. They'll never repeat that kind of effort again. They barely won that game. I do think with sheer effort and hustle, they might make it six games, but they need to magically transform that awful, stupid power play setup, which Rick mentioned it's been getting worse. he goes on to say, when they shoot it in, the defense hold back to the line, bzz, wrong. And when they carry it in, everyone is standing still, bzz, wrong. Where is this supposed great coach Marty St. Louis? Everything that needs fixing has not been fixed. This is all on MSL. All the Habs are doing is biding time, trying to add more talent that is not improving via coaching. That is Hughes doing all the work. I think someone feels strongly about this.
Well, and we said...
And I can't say I disagree
with
this.
Well, we said a little earlier that Marty St. Louis is going to have to outcoach John Cooper. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anyone would argue against that. He's going to have to be strategic to kind of even the odds.
Definitely. So thank you for your comment. It was a good one. We had lots to choose from. And we're looking forward to, I think we're going to have a lot to choose from for this week's question of the week as well. So be sure you get your responses in. We want to read yours next week. So we hope that the last 3 weeks of the regular season got you really prepared for the playoffs. And by that, I mean watching games on Sundays.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we finished the regular season with 3 consecutive Sunday night games. And for the first 2 weeks of this playoff series, you're going to get Sunday night games. Because the series begins in Tampa Sunday at 5:45 p.m.
Okay. Don't they know that we like Saturday games? And they've got Friday, Sunday games.
I know. Game 2 in Tampa on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Game 3 on Friday night in Montreal, 7 o'clock. And we'll talk about it next week. But yes, then Game 4 in Montreal is on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday for games 1 through 4 of the series. It's going to be a good one. It is an exciting week. Our next episode, of course, will be next Saturday, April 25th, where we will have a lot to talk about with these 3 games. Who's going to be up in the series after those 3? What's the roster?
Just a tip. It's not going to be tied after. When we next meet, the series won't be tied.
Wow. Crystal Ball Rick Stevens.
It's a math guy. Came up with that.
Did you get a degree in math? That's some advanced calculations.
Really?
I'm impressed. All joking aside, it's going to be a great week of hockey. Go Habs, go. It is playoff time. Get your brackets done if you haven't already. And be sure you're back here again next Saturday where we're going to break it all down, this first 3 games of the opening round of the playoffs for the Montreal Canadiens. Thanks so much for listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @RocketSports.